Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Chaos Radio. Your voice, Jared Oliver. Controversial. Chaos. And community. Spiritual. Chaos. For your listening pleasure. Chaos.
You cannot tell me.
Hello and welcome. This is Tim the Overseer. Hello and welcome back. Hopefully everyone is doing well today. Hopefully you all are being blessed and living your best spiritual life. We are grateful to be here. We're grateful to be back. I know that they had a long revival last week, so hopefully everyone enjoyed the revival from last week, and it feels good to be back. We are in Revelation, the 20th chapter. In fact, we only just got two more chapters out there. After today, it's been a long journey, and according to my calendar, I just want to check and make sure, we may finish in March. If not, we would definitely be done at the beginning of April. But more likely, we'll be done in March, because I believe what I'm going to do is that I'm going to actually probably just combine chapters 21 and 22, because Revelation, the 21st chapter and the 22nd chapter, pretty straightforward. They're both long chapters, especially chapter 21 and also chapter 22, especially chapter 21. But they're pretty straightforward. I mean, it's the end of the book, the last book of the Bible. It is the end. And so we know that pretty much all it really covers in Revelation 21 and 22 is eternity. And so that is what we strive for as the children of the Most High. As the chosen of Yahweh, is to live for all eternity. That's what we're striving for. We're striving not only to live for all eternity, but we're striving for peace. And so that's what I look forward to. And I'm hoping that's what you're looking forward to, is to live in perfect peace. We see that here in Revelation, the 20th chapter. We're going to talk about the millennial kingdom today, the millennial. And what's funny about it is that we see the millennial reign of Christ for the 1,000 years that we'll be here on earth as an example of how it would be going forward for all eternity. Again, it's just an example, just a taste of how it's going to be. Amen. So the Bible says, blessed is he that has part in the what? First resurrection. So you want to make sure that you're ready to take part in the first resurrection. So I'm going to go ahead and get started, because we got quite a bit to cover in 1 hour. So we may go a little bit over an hour. We may not. Amen. I'll try to get done for you as quickly as possible, as fast as you know, as try to knock it out today. So we're going to go ahead and move forward. Amen. I'm just trying to actually look at my calendar to try to see how many more weeks we got. I think we got one more. Amen. See if I can find my calendar real quick. It's funny when you try to, when you need something, it's like it's hard to get to it. There we go. So today is, oh no, we got 2 more weeks left. Oh yeah, we'll be able to knock it out. So we will definitely finish in the month of March, be Yahweh's will if nothing else comes up. Looks like we got the 20th and the 27th of the last 2 Saturdays in this month. I will be back on the air next Friday night for Freestyle Friday on the 19th. So we're going to go ahead and get right into the scripture. We're going to go ahead and read love, which is coming from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Amen. Chapter 12, the last verse, 31 chapter. Amen. I got a little distraction here. I got a little one in here with me. So we got a little distraction. So, amen. We're going to try to move on and see if we can get it done today. Amen. If not, I'm going to have to send him out. Amen. But, okay. So, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Amen. Verse 31. We're going to read into 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. And it reads, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show unto you a more excellent way. And though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envied not. Charity vaunted not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never fail. Amen. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Amen. Amen. Forgive me. Let me read verse 8 again. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Amen. We'll go ahead and say a quick prayer, and we're going to go ahead and get right into Revelation, the 20th chapter. Amen. We're almost finished. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another blessed day. We thank you for our life, soul, health, and strength. We thank you for our salvation, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for blessing us to find salvation. We thank you for your Son, Christ, and his ultimate sacrifice and your love, dear Heavenly Father, and your Son. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, dear Heavenly Father, the one that keeps us and guides us and protects us, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your Holy Word, dear Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name. We pray that, dear Heavenly Father, that we touch souls and that we teach and spread salvation, dear Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore, dear Heavenly Father. Bless us to continue to show love, dear Heavenly Father. Bless your saints around the world. We bless and praise your holy name, dear Heavenly Father. We pray that our flesh, amen, that we be disciplined, dear Heavenly Father, and that we just come praying, asking that our minds open up to receive your word, amen. All right. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and jump right on into it. Revelation, the 20th chapter. We are talking about the millennial kingdom of Christ. Amen. We know that we are all waiting for this day and this time to happen, where the kingdom come. Amen. Whenever you see in the scripture where it talks about the kingdom come, that is exactly what it's talking about. When the kingdom, amen, has been delivered up to the Heavenly Father, and the kingdom will reign 1,000 years with our Savior Christ. Amen. We call him Yahshua. Amen. Some may reference him by the name of Jesus. Amen. I reference him by the Hebrew name Yahshua. Amen. And the Hebrew name of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Amen. So let's go ahead and jump into Revelation, the 20th chapter. We're going to look at verse 1. We're just going to take it step by step. Amen. So Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 1 says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." Amen. And so we see this angel that comes down from heaven. Now, notice that this angel is not an archangel, okay? Because we know that the archangels are considered higher in rank. But this particular angel, amen, doesn't have rank. He's just an angel from heaven. But he's been given the task or the job or the authority to do what? Amen. We're going to read it in verse 2 and find out what he's going to do, amen, with this chain that he has in his hand. And it says in verse 2, this is a key verse, and it says, "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Amen. Isn't that a little ironic that the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ on earth is going to be for 1,000 years, and guess who is going to be without? It's going to be without Satan, amen. And I'm willing to bet, even though the scriptures don't say it, amen, it's a possibility, amen. Again, I'm going to use my spiritual speculation. So when I use my spiritual speculation, I tell people, hey, it's not in the Bible. This is just my own personal thought, and I like to share my own personal spiritual thought with you. I'm willing to bet that all the demons and the fallen angels are going to probably be bound as well. They're not going to be loose, right? So we have to make that spiritual speculation, because if the leader of them is going to be bound, then that means that the rest of them is probably more likely going to be bound as well. So why? Because they're not going to deceive the nations anymore. We're going to see that here in verse 3 of Revelation, the 20th chapter. But before we go any further, we just want to kind of make sure that we kind of cover verses 1 and 2 just a little bit more in depth. Amen. Not too much, but just a little bit. So we want to get an idea of Christ when he comes back to earth with the saints. So remember, there are some things that are going to take place when Christ returns to the earth. So we covered it last time when we was on Revelation, the 19th chapter, the battle of Armageddon. When Christ come back, he defeats his enemies, all the kingdoms of the world that serve and worship Satan. We talked about all the little kingdoms and all these people who want to claim themselves to be elite. Guess where they are? They are in hell right now. Amen. And when I say right now, I don't mean right now, this very moment, but I mean in this particular scripture, when this happened, when Christ returns with the church, when he returns with his saints. We know before he starts his millennial reign that all of his enemies must be what? Defeated. All of his enemies must be put up under his feet. So let's kind of take a look at some scriptures real quick. Let's go over to... And I didn't even have the scripture written down or anything, but it just kind of came to mind. The Holy Spirit revealed it to me. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let's take a look at this scripture real quick. 1 Corinthians. I believe it's the 15th chapter where Paul wrote, amen, and it's going to be 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And we're going to start at verse 24 because I have it marked. And we're going to end up, we're just going to read down the first verse 27 for the sake of time. Amen. Revelation, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 24 down to verse 27. It says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to Yahweh. Amen. Even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted. Which did put all things under him. So we know that Christ is going to defeat all of his enemies. Amen. This is very important for us to understand. Because we want what? Total peace. And now that I've matured in age, that I became saved, a saint of the Most High, I now understand why my dad used to always say he loves peace. Even when people would be rude to him and mean to him and just say things out in the open to him, he would just remain humble. Amen. And I could understand that when I was young. Like, man, you know, sometimes the way people act, they make you want to smack them. Amen. But he was so contained and spiritually mature and disciplined, amen, that people could disrespect him. Amen. He would just remain humble. I mean, he would, as we say, turn the other cheek. Amen. As Christ taught. And this is so important, amen, because we got to let the Most High fight our battles, amen. And we see this, when an example of this, at the Battle of Armageddon, when Christ returned with all his saints and the angels, amen, we're not going to have to do anything. He's going to fight our battles. He's going to destroy all of our earthly enemies. And then he's going to do away with his spiritual enemies, but not totally yet, amen, because we're going to see that something's going to take place at the end of that thousand-year reign, okay? So now, again, we know that this angel, what was special about this angel was that this angel didn't have to have any particular rank or anything to bound Satan, right? The Bible says in Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 2 says, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent. And when you say, well, dragon, serpent, who is this? Which is the devil and Satan. So you see right now, this is Lucifer, the fallen one, amen, the leader of the fallen angels, the one that mainly rebelled against the Most High in heaven, right? And it says, and bound him 1,000 years. Okay? So we see that the Most High said, you know what? We don't have to have anybody with a special right to do away with Satan. This goes to show you that people say that Satan or Lucifer or the devil, the dragon or the serpent, whatever you want to call him, is the arch enemy of the Most High. Let me make this statement to you. There is no such thing as the arch enemy of the Most High, because the Most High has enemies, but there is no arch enemies. There is no one that can rival Yahweh. There is no one that can rival my God. There is no one that will ever be on any opposite equal plane or equal plane as the Heavenly Father. He has all power and might and authority in his hand. And the devil has no power whatsoever, amen, against the Most High. He just chose to rebel against the Most High, amen. So that's what makes him an enemy, is because he has chosen to rebel, as you do see the people of the world, of this world, are rebellion against the Most High. They're just being rebellious, a rebellious spirit, amen. And they have no power against the Most High. He just said, hey, just one of you, just an angel. Hey, go bound Satan. Put these chains on him. And we see that he is what? He is actually bound. So we're going to get a little bit more into detail of this context of the scripture here as we read verses 3 down to 6. So we're going to start at Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 3, and continue. It says, and cast him into a bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Amen. So there you go. You see that after the 1,000 years, that Satan's going to be loosed again. He's going to be allowed. Now, notice that the scripture says he will be loose, not that he will break loose or he will escape. He don't have that type of power. The Bible says that he will be shut up and a seal will be set upon him. Again, Satan has no power against the Most High, which makes me wonder, why do people even sell their soul or even serve Satan? I'm like, you're serving a weak God. Amen. We serve all-powerful, almighty God, and I'm glad to say so. Amen. I'm grateful to say so, and I'm thankful to be one of his children. Amen. And I'm more than thankful and grateful to be bringing you his holy word today. We're talking about Revelation, the 20th chapter. Amen. We're going to open up, amen, the doors in a little later, because I want you to know how you can escape, amen, this evil thing that's going to come on the unbelievers that choose not to believe in our Heavenly Father, not to believe in the Son, amen. Because salvation is free, salvation is for all eternity, and you cannot lose your salvation, amen. We don't teach weak stuff over here. We teach the power of the Most High, amen, because Satan is not a rival or a match for the Most High. He has no way to cause you to lose your salvation. Once you believe, that is it. Amen. We were having a discussion with the children last night. Amen. That's one of the things that we reference. Amen. Is that how must you be saved? Amen. But we're going to get back to the scriptures. Amen. One day we'll have to talk about, amen, salvation. I may get into that next month after I finish Revelation. I may do a little short series on salvation, and then we'll continue with the teachings of eschatology, which is the teaching of end time events, which is i.e. the book of Revelation. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and move forward. Amen. So what does this say? Verse 4 says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given upon them. Amen. Judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahshua and for the word of Yahweh, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. Let's kind of break down some of these scriptures. I got some notes here. Let's kind of take a look at some of the things that I have, some of the notes that I've written down. I told you I write down so many scriptures and notes, and I end up not even using them, but it's always good to have them just in case, amen, I need to refer to them. So let's just kind of take a look. Let's go to Isaiah, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4, and let's get an example, a glimpse, just a quick glimpse of what true peace is. Let's just talk about what true peace is going to be like in this millennial reign of Christ, amen. So we're going to go back to verse 1. Revelation 20 and 1. We're going to go back to that. Because we see that as Christ, amen, kicks off his millennial reign, I did mention earlier that there's going to be some events that take place after the beast and the false prophet is going to be kicked into the lake of fire. Amen. Straight to the lake of fire. Amen. So they're so evil, amen, that there's not going to be any need to judge them. The Bible says they're just going to be tossed right into the lake of fire. Not hell, the lake of fire. See, hell and the lake of fire are two different places. So, watch this. Let's take a look. Amen. Isaiah, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. It says, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Amen. He saw the future, amen, of Judah and Jerusalem. Amen. He saw the millennial reign, the peace that was to come. Verse 2 says, and it shall come in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. This is going to be that great city, what, the new Jerusalem, amen, this new great city that's supposed to be either similar to Jerusalem or the new Jerusalem, amen. It may be similar to the old Jerusalem, okay? So we're going to rule Jesus. So basically it's going to be the capital city of the world, amen. And so this city is going to be top of what? All nations, it says. It shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow unto it. Nothing but peace. Now watch what it says in verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So this will be the Jerusalem, amen, that will be reestablished. So now watch this. Those of us who love to teach the word, guess what we're going to get to do all day? Just be teaching his word and teaching people about our God, right? And the laws and the statutes. You're going to be able to reign. You're going to be somebody, amen, during this millennial reign, amen. You're going to have a position, a rank, a status. Okay, when we come back to this earth and reign with him for 1,000 years, okay, it's very important to understand the scriptures. Watch what it says in verse 4. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. So that means the people who want to cut up and act up just like people in this time will be, it won't be so. We won't permit it. It won't be allowed. Amen. No unruliness in this new millennial reign, okay? It says, and they shall be beat. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares. Ain't that something? So in other words, whatever weapon that they will have will be used for work. Amen. See, it won't be, people using weapons to destroy one another, to war with one another. Because it's going to be what? Total peace in this 1,000-year reign. And it says also that in their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isn't that beautiful? That's the reason for so much corruption now. Now, understand when we talk about war, war is not just physical. War is also spiritual, meaning mental. You won't even have to deal with the what? The spiritual warfare anymore, because I just showed you in Revelation the 20th chapter, I believe it was verse, let me go back, verse 3, where it says, that he, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. So what does that mean to shut him up? He will be basically locked away. You won't be able to hear him, and a seal shall be set upon him. So he won't be able to deceive you spiritually, mean mentally either, nor physically. He'll be bound. That's why I said that he will be bound. That word bound up in Revelation 20, chapter verse 2, the word bound means to what? Bind. Means that he's going to actually have like handcuffs on. They're going to cuff him. He's going to be bound. Now, will he be bound hand and foot? We don't know. He might be. The Bible said he was cast, and he was thrown into this pit. But we know that how the way they're going to cast him and bind him, he will not what be able to deceive the nations no more. He won't have that power nor authority. It's been taken away from him for 1,000 years. Amen. So you don't have to worry about any demons or imps or simps and whatever else you can think of, fallen angels, none of them. This stuff they go around talking about the Illuminati and all this old silly mess, the elites and stuff, won't be none of that. Christ is not going for any of it. Amen. Boy, I tell you, we may have to go the whole hour and a half today. Amen. I want to show you. I want to share something else with you real quick. Amen. I wasn't going to share it, but let's go ahead and share it. Amen. You know how the Spirit is. Amen. The Spirit say move. We got to be obedient. So let's go over to Revelation. Revelation. Let's see. Revelation, the second chapter it is. And let's look at Revelation, second chapter, verses 26 and 27. Let's read what it says. It says, this is Christ talking. It says, and he that overcometh, that's us, the believers, and keepeth my works unto the end, again, that's us, the believers, the children of the Most High, to him I will give power over the nations. Isn't that amazing? You're going to have power and authority. You're going to reign and rule with Christ because his Holy Spirit is going to be seen. And you think sometimes, well, man, how am I going to rule nations? How little me, you know, with myself, you know, with the things I got going on in my world, in my life, he going to choose me. He going to give me that much power. He's going to entrust me to rule and to have authority over nations and power over nations. Verse 27 says, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter, they shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. In other words, man, the rule of Christ is going to be so stern and powerful. Not all this corruptness that you see in governments and principalities. When I say principalities, I'm talking about both spiritual and worldly principalities. I mean kingship, queenship, presidencies. There's so much wicked and evilness that's being ruled on this earth through the rulership, through the leaders of this earth right now. There will not be none of that. Christ will be here on earth alive and shining bright as the sun. We're not going for it. The saints that were going to come back and rule. So remember, when we as the church come back with Christ at the end of the great tribulation, there's going to be a resurrection of the Old Testament saints and the tribulational saints. That's going to be the 144,000 and those that who chose not to receive the mark of the beast and heard the preaching of the two prophets, which we know as Elijah and Moses, and also the 144,000, they will become saved. But we also know that after their salvation, they shall be what? Beheaded, because they will choose not to accept the mark of the beast. So these saints will be resurrected at the end when Christ returns. He's going to resurrect those saints. And all of these saints, so that means the Old Testament saints, the church age saints, which is us, some people call the New Testament saints, which is the church age saint, which is us. Then the tribulational saints, again, which is the 144,000, and those who will become saved, they that will become saved during the tribulation. And, of course, Elijah and Moses, again, because they're going to be included, with the Old Testament saying, we're going to rule with Christ. Can you imagine all those people on the earth, just saints everywhere, by the tens of thousands, in the millions, because John said, I saw a number that no man could number. The saints going to flood the earth. We're going to rule with Christ for 1,000 years. We ain't going far. We sit back and watch all this evil stuff going on in the world, but guess what? is not going to be tolerated while the Christ is on the earth and while we're ruling right with Christ and under Christ. Amen. So all glory to the Most High. Let me move on because I got some more scriptures. I want to take a look at Revelation 20, chapter verse 2. I want to call your attention to Jude, there's only one book of Jude, so we're going to go to the sixth verse. I want to show you something about these fallen angels. This is why I say that when Christ is going to be bound, not Christ, when Satan, Lucifer is going to be bound, amen, in verse 2 of Revelation 20 chapter, more likely those fallen angels are going to be bound. The demons, all the followers of Satan are going to be bound, and the people who accepted the mark of the beast are going to be in hell. They're going to be in torments in hell. Now remember, hell is not the lake of fire. Don't get it confused or twisted. Lake of fire and hell are two different places. Okay, so remember that. Now watch this. Jude, the book of Jude, it says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." Amen. So now make sure you remember that verse. Mark that in your Bible or highlight or whatever. Make sure you remember that verse, because you see that they're going to be what? He's reserved them, meaning that he's chained them in everlasting darkness. So they're also in the pit or in hell. Okay? Until the judgment of the great day, until his time of day of judgment, they're going to be bound as well. So that's why I say my spiritual speculation, according to the Bible and to the scriptures, tell me that the fallen angels and the demons are going to be there too. They're going to be bound. They're not going to be free to deceive people and to wreak all this evil havoc on the earth, right? Amen. So now we're going to go back to Revelation, the 20th chapter. And let's see, where were we? We were talking about, amen, the third chapter. Let's go to Revelation 20 chapter. Let's look at verse 4 and see what it says, amen. Because we know that Satan's going to be, he's going to be bound up. He's going to be sealed up for 1,000 years. Now watch what it says in verse 4. It says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." Amen. So I'm not going to read all these scriptures that are written there, but I'm going to give you the scriptures so you can go and read them on your own. Amen. I'm just going to read a couple of them. Matthew, the 19th chapter, verse 28. Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 30. Amen. But I am going to read. I'm going to go over to Daniel because I feel like it's important to read this, the book of Daniel. I'm going to look at Daniel, the 7th chapter, I believe. And I have written down verse 22. So let's go to Daniel 7 and 22. I believe that's it. Let's see what it says. And it says, "Until the Ancient of Days came." Amen. We're just talking about Christ. Amen. The Ancient of Days, the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, Yeshua. Amen. The one that gave the book of Revelation to John. He is the Ancient of Days. Watch what it says here. It says, "And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High." Amen. I told you who the saints are. The Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, the church age saints, which is us, and the tribulational saints. That's the 144,000 plus those that they witnessed to that converted themselves and did not receive the mark of the beast and became saved. He said that judgment is going to be given to the saints. We are the saints of the Most High. "And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom." Amen. So you see there again that you're going to have what? Possession. Amen. Authority. Amen. To rule. Amen. And to govern the nations. Amen. The earth during this 1,000-year reign, because there will be people. Amen. That's going to live into the millennial reign, into that time. Now, I'll also call your attention to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Amen. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Let's go there real quick. I'm going to take a look at verses 2. Amen. Let's just look at verse 2. I may read 3. Mainly, I want you to look at verse 2 of 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. It says, "Do ye not know?" This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. "Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" Amen. This is what Paul was talking Paul was speaking prophetically, amen. We know that Paul had a lot of prophetic revelation and to the what was the things that was to come pertaining to Christ's return, amen. And so this is what Paul was talking about, amen. So we know that here in verse 4, what's about to happen, we're talking about those thrones, and they were set upon them, and judgment was given for them. That's going to be us, okay? And watch what it says now. It says, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahshua and for the word of Yahweh, amen, and which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That is so deep, amen, because, amen, as you can see, according to the fourth verse, amen, as you can see, the souls that were beheaded, these were the tribulational saints. I just told you, the 144,000. And then you have who else? Amen. Those that they witnessed to that became saved. So it's a possibility that more than likely, maybe not all, but it's a possibility, I'm saying, maybe some of those tribulational, those tribulational saints, the 144,000, may have been beheaded, maybe not. Maybe they was protected. Amen. I believe that they were protected because why? The Bible, the scripture talk about how they had a seal, amen, in their forehead. So they may have been protected. Amen. They may not have been touched. Amen. The Antichrist probably didn't have the authority. And I'm going to show you a scripture. I'm going to go back up to the book of Daniel to show you the scripture that shows you that they were protected. It says Daniel, the 12th chapter. Let me read to you what it says. Amen. About the chosen. Amen. Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse 1 says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth before the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book of life. Amen. So as we see there, it's a possibility that the 144,000 may not be touched, but we do know according to Revelation, the 6th chapter, and there are some more scriptures that you have to read them. I believe it's Revelation, the 6th chapter, verses 9 through 11. You'll see that some of the saints that chose not to receive, once they got converted and became saints, they chose not to receive what? The mark of the beast, the 666 in their foreheads or on their hand. So they were beheaded. Now those, the Antichrist got to, but these, the one that the saints that Michael stood up for is believed to be the 144,000. Amen. Which is a possibility that none of the 144,000 may not be touched. Amen. So, amen, we'll come back and we'll explore that once we go back through the eschatology, the teachings of eschatology, amen. So now we're going to deal with, amen, verse 5, going into verse 5, okay? So make sure that we understand Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 4, okay? And I want to share something, and then we got to see how much amen. We got some time left. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and read some, share some of these scriptures with you. I want to go over to Revelation, the 13th chapter, amen, so we could deal with the beast, amen, so we can see who this is. We know that the beast is who? The Antichrist, because we know that the Bible in Revelation is a very symbolic book, so we want to know that we make sure that we break down and make sure we break down and know who the characters are. So the beast is the Antichrist. So this is Revelation, the 13th chapter. We're going to start at verse 8. And it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. So all of those whose name was not written, that they're going to worship the beast. These are the people who are going to choose the 666. And we know that the Bible says it's the number of the name of the beast. What that means is that in ancient times, the Hebrew and Greek, amen, languages, they didn't have numbers. They used letters as their numbers. And this is why I said that the number will be the name of the beast. Amen. And so you see people accepting tattoos and all kind of writings. I mean, these folks are just gone. Stone Cold crazy with these tattoos at this day and time. I mean, beautiful people got beautiful bodies just ruining their body with that junk. All these tattoos all over the body. I've seen people got what they call a sleeve. And then folks got a hood. So, I mean, their whole head is just tattooed. And I'm like, Lord have mercy, you just messing up your... I hate to see them when they get 80. Amen. We don't know if it goes well, they'd be here that long. But I'm just saying, amen, we can just see how the world is sold out. So we know that we are in the season of the last days that amen, we are getting very close to the end, the return of Christ. We're in that season. We can see many signs. People just accepting markings all over the body. So they're not going to have no problem accepting the mark of the beast in their forehead or on their hand. And because people are just marking up the bodies like nothing. They accept anything on their body. People put tattoos on their body. They don't even know what the tattoo says. They just got on. They don't even know what it means. They just got it on their body. So, amen. So we see this happening here. Now, I want to read to you. I'm going to go down to the verse 12. And it says, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So this second beast, which is referring to the first beast, is the false prophet. Amen. So the first beast is who? The Antichrist, which had a mortal wound to the head, but he's going to be resurrected. Satan's going to be allowed to resurrect him and possess him. Amen. So we see that. So we're going to look at verse 13. Amen. I'm sorry. We're going to drop down to the 15 and 16 verse. Then we're going to move on. Amen. We're going to move on. So verse 15 and 16 of Revelation, the 13th chapter, says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Amen. So this is where you see the beheading of those who were converted by the 144,000. They're going to be beheaded because they're going to say, you know what, I don't want to accept this mark. And maybe this is going to be some of the people who's playing in church right now that's kind of playing around that when Christ come and swoop up the church and they still left there. Maybe because they was in church and they're familiar with church, they say, you know what, I don't want no part of this. I am ready to accept him as my Lord and Savior. And they're going to become saved, and they're not going to accept the mark of the beast. Now, this image, amen, says that, and he had power to give life with technology at this day and time. We know in the book of Daniel spoke about these things, how knowledge should be increased. We know with television, with social media, with internet, we never has it been before that everyone all over the entire planet, amen, if they got a cell phone tower in the jungle, you can pick up a signal, you can see what's going on in the rest of the world. Amen. We can see, maybe for the first time, we can see live what's going on in other countries, in Africa, Asia, Europe, South America, America. We can see the small islands around the world. For the first time, we have access that everyone has access to see. And I just heard that someone was telling me, I think it was in California or somewhere, somebody was just telling me, a young man was just telling me here recently that they have the ability, they have internet, total free internet. Amen. Now, when I say free, I don't know if that includes in your home, but you can get Wi-Fi. That's what it is, Wi-Fi everywhere. You walk out your house and your phone has instant Wi-Fi. I'm like, wow, really? So you see these things are coming to pass. We are in the season of the return of our Lord and Savior. Church, get ready. Amen. Get your tickets ready. They free. Amen. We want you to be saved. We don't want you to be lost. We love you, brothers and sisters. Get your tickets ready. Don't play games. Amen. Like the young people tell me, and the young people say, play stuff. They say, play stupid games, receive stupid rewards. These kids got a saying for everything these days. They say, play stupid games, receive stupid rewards. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you can play stupid games with your soul if you want to. You're going to receive more than some stupid rewards. You're going to get broke smooth off. Amen. So we don't want that for you. We want you to receive salvation. We want you to be saved. Amen. But we're going to move on. So, amen, I had to share that with you in reference to Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 4, to explain, break down that verse, amen, that we know who was beheaded, amen. We know who was set on these thrones during judgment. We know who the beast is. We know who the first beast is. The first beast is the Antichrist. The second beast is the false prophet, amen. So now we're going to go ahead and jump into Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 5. Revelation 20 and 5, it says, but the rest of the dead live not again until the thousand years were finished. Amen. So I'm going to stop right there. Amen. I know that the fifth verse has a one last sentence, but I'm not going to read that sentence. I'm going to be reading. I'm going to explain that to you. But it's important that we recognize what I just read. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Well, who is this? Because we know that the saints, amen, that were asleep in the dust. Now, it's important to understand that when the Bible talks about sleep or rest, it's referring to the believers, the saints of God, the saints of Yahweh. When it refers to the dead, it refers to the unbelievers, amen, because they're going to die a second death. They're going to remain dead for all eternity. So you say, well, who is this dead? This means all the unbelievers from the time of the Adam and Eve came out of the Garden of Eden, all those that have rebelled against the Most High from the beginning of time in Genesis, from the Garden of Eden, all the way to the end of the Great Tribulation. That's who the dead is. And they're not going to live until what? The 1,000 years are finished. So all the saints have been raised out of the dust, whether they're in the oceans, whether they're in the dust in the ground, the mountains, wherever they were buried, they are already raised from the dead. They are alive and on the earth. The only people that are still dead in the graves are the unbelievers and those who accepted the mark of the beast in their foreheads and in their hand during the Great Tribulation and before the Great Tribulation, going all the way back to the time of Adam and Eve, if they did not believe. They are still dead. Their souls are in hell being tormented. Not the lake of fire. They are in hell. Amen. So it's important that we understand this. Now, the reason that I didn't read that last sentence with verse 5, because it's very important that we understand who the scripture is talking to. And that portion of the scripture is talking to the dead. Amen. It's talking to the unbelievers. Now we will conclude to read the last sentence in Revelation 20 and 5. And that last sentence is going to conclude over to Revelation, the sixth verse. Now watch what it says. It says, this is the first resurrection. Stop. Because a lot of people don't understand what the first resurrection is. I heard some people say that the second resurrection, and people are confusing people. The first resurrection is actually in segments, meaning that the first resurrection, and Paul described the first fruits, if you read First Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 23, he talks about the first fruits being Christ. So the first resurrection is in sections, meaning that the first resurrection wasn't just one whole resurrection. The first resurrection was Christ, meaning that he was the first to be raised from the dead and to what? Journey into heaven. Amen. He was the first one to be raised from the dead and to live what? Forevermore. So we know that let's see if I can find. I think it's over in Matthew. This is one of the chapters you find. Matthew, the 27th chapter, it talks about how Christ, I think it's verse 52 and 53. We're going to read that. We got some time. Let me see. And we're going to read that. Yeah. We're going to read that real quick. So I want you to understand that Christ is the first fruits. So, in fact, let's run over to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter real quick, and read verse 23 and see what it says. It says, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. So you see the inclusion of the first fruits of the first resurrection. So we are all included in the first resurrection, meaning that who? Christ is the first fruits, meaning that he's the first one to be raised from the dead. And then there's going to be some Old Testament saints that also that came out of the grave, amen, that were seen, amen, that again, that's Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 52 through 53, amen. And so, and I'm going to conclude. So let's go over to Matthew's, let's read this real quick. Let's go around to Matthew, 27th chapter, I believe, and it's verse 52 and 53, see if I can find it, amen, all glory to the Most High, there it is. And it says, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. So listen to the language. The Bible says the saints. Now, I heard somebody say something about the saints and the church is not going to be gathered together. until the end of the great tribulation. That makes absolutely no sense. The Bible doesn't teach that. And I'm going to show you some scriptures to where the Bible doesn't teach. You got to listen to the language and pay attention to the language of the Bible to interpret it correctly by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The saints are not going to be resurrected at the end of the great tribulation. The Bible said we're going to return with Christ at the end of the great tribulation. Amen. I want you to understand that. See where it says the bodies of the saints. So we have the Old Testament saints here because while the church age has not yet started. Amen. So this is the Old Testament saints, which slept, arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection. So let's make this clear, that they came after Christ, meaning that Christ was resurrected first, and then they was resurrected what? After Christ, and appeared unto many. So this is the first fruits, Christ being first. Then he has a few Old Testament saints, okay? Now, the mystery is that we don't know who these Old Testament saints were, or we don't know who they were or why they were resurrected. That's one of the mysteries, amen. May it be revealed to us in the end. Now, go back over to 1 Corinthians, 15th chapter again, and we'll see what Paul says about us. This is one of the mysteries that the early church missed, that it took years for people, the scholars and theologians and people who study the Bible, to realize that, wait a minute, Paul was talking about another resurrection. And he wasn't talking about the resurrection at the end of the great tribulation, but he was talking about a mystery of a resurrection that was supposed to happen, amen, of the church age saints. That's us, the New Testament saints. Watch what Paul said. He reveals this in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and also over in Thessalonians. We're going to take a look at that real quick. Amen. See, there we go. We got some time. I'm trying to move along as quick as I can to get to the end of this chapter. Amen. So watch what it says. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 51. Watch what he said. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, I've told you several times before, if you've been listening to me for the past year, this is one of the greatest mysteries of the Bible. Because why? The one of the greatest mysteries is that the whole Bible is calculated in time. We know that the Most High does things according to order and numbers. Well, the great mystery is that we don't know when Christ is going to return. That's why the church age is a mystery, because nobody knows the day or the hour. Nobody knows when the church age is going to what? In. Nobody knows but the Father in heaven. The Father sits on the throne. Christ even said himself, I don't even know, but my Father in heaven knows, and he will send me back to get the saints. That's why it's considered one of the greatest mysteries, because no one knows when Christ is going to return. We don't know when the church is going to what? And that's why I said we must watch. And that's why I'm teaching you this word and being thorough and getting my time into this, because I love it. I love you. And I want you to know. Paul said, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, but I want you to know. So we want the brothers and sisters to know what the word says. Amen. Now watch what it says. Behold, I show you a mystery. That word in the Greek, mystery, is translated. It means mysterion, which means a secret. Amen. And so it is a secret, not to us that believe, amen, but it's a secret to who? The unbelievers. That's what it means. So Paul reveals the secret to us. He said, we shall not all sleep. Who is we? We are the church. Amen. We are the New Testament saints. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Amen. Changed. In a what? It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Amen. So we see that this is part of the first resurrection. This is why it says back over, bounce back over to Revelation. Amen. The 20th chapter, verse 6, where it says, verse 5 and 6. But in the verse 5 says, this is the first resurrection. So it begins to describe. It says, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. So we just gave you scriptures to show you, according to Paul and according to Christ, amen, we are part of the what? First fruits with Christ. So we got Christ's resurrection. A few of the Old Testament saints was resurrected. And then also, who else? The church age saints is going to be resurrected. And then who else after that? the Old Testament saints and the tribulation of saints will also be resurrected. These are considered the first resurrection. They are in four different parts. Some people said they believe it's five, because the reason why they say five, because we know that Elijah and Moses will come back and they are resurrected during the great tribulation, at the very end of the great tribulation before Christ returned. Their bodies lay dead in the street, and what happened? They are resurrected from the dead. So if you want to say five resurrections, I'm cool with that. Amen. I don't have a problem with that, but we know that Christ and some Old Testament saints was the first stage, the first one. Then the gathering together of the saints, some call it the rapture. I don't. I'm fine. Sometimes I use, sometimes I don't. But because a lot of people say, well, the rapture is not in the Bible. It's not. But guess what? The gathering together is. Paul calls it the gathering together of the saints. So the gathering together of the saints, which is the church age saints, us, that's two. Then we have the tribulation of saints that's going to be resurrected with the Old Testament saints. That's going to be four. So that's part of the last. Those are your saints. Amen. Then again, if you want to throw in the two witnesses, again, that's fine. That's fine. But as long as we understand these, this is what the scripture is talking about. It says, blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. I can show you so many scriptures to confirm this and to back this theory up, amen, but for the sake of time, and we're going to save it for our eschatological teaching in the future. But what I want you to understand, amen, that according to the scripture, says, blessed is he that had part in the first resurrection, all we have to do is just go back up a few scriptures, amen, to verse 4. Why? Because it tells you, saying, I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Again, because the tribulation of saints, the church age saints, and the Old Testament saints are going to do what? We're going to all rule. I just showed you scriptures, amen, to where we're going to all rule with Christ. This is why it says, blessed is he that had part in the first resurrection, meaning that there are going to be four parts of the saints, or four parties of saints that are part of the first resurrection. The Old Testament saints, Christ is the first fruits with a few Old Testament saints, the church age saints, and the tribulational saints. Amen. So now you understand what exactly the first resurrection is. Now we also understand that on such the second death hath no power. That's why we're blessed, because we are all believers and we will live for all eternity. That's how we know that we are all included in this first resurrection. But it says, but they shall be priests of Yahweh and of Yahshua Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Again, confirmation that we are all part of this first resurrection. Amen. Now, there is going to be a second resurrection. That's why we have to be careful in not saying that the church age says it's the second resurrection. No, we are all included in that first resurrection. Now, watch this. You're going to learn what the second resurrection is here in a minute. The verse 7 says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loose out of his prison. He said, wait a minute. Why in the world is Satan going to be loose? Why is Satan out? Why is somebody say, amen, why is Satan out? Why is he loose? Amen. Remember, I told you that he's not going to break out. He's not going to bust out of prison. He's not going to escape. He's going to be allowed to be loosed. Amen. They're going to let him out. That just shows how weak he is. Amen. Let's just call it what he is. He has no power. Stop giving him power. He has to be let out of prison. Amen. It's like somebody lock you behind bars. You ain't got no, if they bring the key, you ain't got no power to get out. Amen. You'll kill yourself trying to get out of a jail cell. Amen. You don't have that type of power. That's why I tell people, stop worshiping the devil and worship Yahweh, the Most High. Amen. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So you see, amen, that he's going to be what? Loosed out, amen, of his prison. And watch what verse 8 says. And shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. Now, this is not the same Gog and Magog that we saw earlier. Amen. In the book of Revelation, this is a little different, Gog and Magog, because why is it, well, how is it different? We know that the first was already destroyed. Christ, when he came back, the Battle of Armageddon, he destroyed, amen, the first Gog and Magog. He destroyed all his enemies, right? Amen. All the natural earthly enemies were destroyed, okay? So this is a different group. But Satan is going to, you know, you're going to always have people that's going to be weak-minded, people that you can tell them the truth and teach them the truth. You can take them to church. You can do all this teaching and studying that I do and break it down and give it to you like a meal and just make it easy for you, and people still don't believe. You'd be shocked and surprised in my 20 years of ministry how I've broken down the word, showed people scriptures, and it's like, Lord, have mercy. How do you not get this? If I got elementary kids that I've been teaching, they grown now. They still come and say they understand. They know salvation. They've been saved since they were children. They understood what I teach. Amen. And even some adults, amen, I've taught them. And they said they got it crystal clear. But you got some folks that's just like, Lord, have mercy. We didn't taught you. Amen. We didn't broke down the word. We didn't love on you, and you still don't believe. It's like, Lord, this is, and you'd be surprised how some of the people in the church us have that reprobate mind. They still just the same way. So this is what's going to happen in this millennial reign. These people are going to live for the hundred. Now remember, some people are going to live over 100 years, some 200, 300, 400, 500. Some are going to live close to 1,000 years. Amen. Some are going to be, most are going to be saved. Let's go say that. Most are going to be saved, but you're going to have some that's going to, what, choose to rebel. Excuse me. Amen. And so, which is going to be a shock. You would think that with Christ, this is Christ. It just goes to show you why the lake of fire and hell exists. Because just like Satan and the fallen angels decide to be disobedient and rebel against the Most High. You got the same rebellious spirit in human beings and people on this earth. It's amazing. And we were just talking about this last night with the children. It's amazing how people can have such just beautiful things, just the beauty of the word, the beauty of love, and they're gonna actually have Christ and all these beautiful saints all over the earth. You're gonna see the glory of God. In person, in flesh, you're gonna see Christ here, glowing. I mean, just beautiful. We're gonna have brand new, beautiful body. You're gonna look so immaculate, and you think people say, "Man, I want to be a part of that. I want to go back to heaven and live in the new heaven and new earth and be a part of that." But guess what? You're gonna have some people, and you're gonna see Satan. He's gonna be loose. It's just gonna be. They're gonna be like, I want to be part of that. I'm like, what? We've been here almost 1,000 years. We've been here 1,000 years preaching the gospel and ruling with an iron fist, just ruling with the rod of iron. We just stirring and we giving you the word. That just goes to show you that no matter what, you're gonna always have one for whatever the number. You're gonna always have somebody that's gonna be evil and rebellious. No matter what, you can show them heaven and they still want hell. That amazes me. And I'm not trying to laugh, but it is kind of funny because it just amazes me why would you want to be a part of something like that? So you want to go down where it's dark and it's burning torments for all eternity to be basically with your God, which is Lucifer. Which kind of brings me to the thought of, now, what are the fallen angels thinking that they will follow Satan? Man, I've been looking at him like he crazy. Man, I ain't rebelling against Dad. You could rebel against him. I'm not. But it just makes you wonder, what do they hope to gain? What do they think they were going? What did they think was going to happen when they rebelled against the Most High? They thought that, are we going to overthrow Yahweh and be evil for all eternity? Please, he's not going to allow that to happen. He's not going to let it. He can't stand sin. He hates it. He is the almighty, righteous, holy God. And he was not going to lose to Satan. And I just showed you how weak Satan is because an angel, which was not an archangel, that basically the Bible says didn't give a description. It wasn't important to know, you know, his rank because it didn't matter. Satan wasn't going to do anything. He bound him for 1,000 years. Amen. So this is going to show you how much power Satan got, right? Amen. So let's move on. Amen. So verse 9, watch this. And it says, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from Yahweh out of heaven. Yahweh said, I'm just tired of this. I'm tired of this boy. I dealt with him. He didn't destroy heaven. He didn't mess up. He didn't fight in his house. He didn't deceive some angels and drew through the angels with him. He didn't mess up Adam and Eve in the garden. He tried to destroy Christ by having the fallen angels come down and sleep with man and bring all kind of unheard of creatures on the earth. This is why he's unearthing funny looking skeletons and stuff out of the earth. Because of that, because the fallen angels slept with the daughters of men and animals, slept with animals and created all kind of, that's why you see all this crazy stuff they show on TV. Amen. Where do you think they get it from? They ain't original. They got this from somewhere. So he tried to stop Christ. Amen. They tried to, you know, they didn't crucify him. We deal with all this stuff now, all this evil kidnapping and murdering and all this stuff that's going on, sex trafficking on the earth. He just didn't done so much. And then we bound him for 1,000 years and loosed him. Amen. It was a mystery to us as to why he was loose. And, amen, I don't know. We don't know why he was loose. Amen. But the Most High said, you know, I'm tired of him. I'm just going to deal with it myself. Bible said fire came down from heaven and devoured them. So all his followers, amen, were devoured. Fire and brimstone, fire from heaven, amen. just in the snap of a finger, they done. They roasted. And watch what verse 10 says. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. So the beast and the false prophet have been in the lake of fire for 1,000 years. Ooh, man. And watch what it says. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. We know, we talked about that with the kids last night. Amen. Because I love to connect with the youth and make sure that their soul is right, make sure that they're ready to go home as well. Amen. It's funny that the beast and the false prophet, if you go back and read the last part of Revelation, the 19th chapter, I think it was verse 20, amen, you'll see that they was cast alive. They didn't go through judgment. They were just thrown looking for what they did and have been so evil and horrible, they deceived so many people, deceived the whole entire world, that you know what? Christ and the Most High and the Holy Spirit said, you know what? Bye. We throwing y'all in the lake of fire alive. Ain't no need for y'all to be in no spiritual form. Y'all going to burn. Just throw them in there. Just throw them in there. He's going to burn. For 1,000 years, they've been burning by the time Satan comes. Now Satan fixing to join them. So now they burning, amen, 1,000 years. They've been burning. Now Satan is there. Now watch this. Now the final judgment has come. Now is the second resurrection. That's why the Bible says, blessed is he that take part in the what? First resurrection. Now you're about to see the second resurrection. This is the second resurrection. Now watch this. Verse 11 says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Meaning that no place for them is talking about the dead. These are the unbelievers. In other words, you ain't going to be able to hide. So he basically made heaven and earth. So we somewhere in the middle there, somewhere in the middle, somewhere. I don't know if it's space. We are someday or somewhere in the middle of just there. No earth, no heaven, no running, no hiding. There's nowhere to hide. It's just you, the Most High, and his son, Christ, with the books. He's going to open up the books. And one of the books that we know for sure, amen, is the book of what? Life. Now, I always, you know, how I always should tell you, I have to tell you my spiritual speculation. My spiritual speculation, because the Bible says, amen, that the books were opened. Verse 12 says, and I saw the dead. Now, remember, we saw the dead, which is now, it's talking about the unbelievers, small and great. So it's at the end of the 1,000-year reign, judgment, the final judgment, which is we call the great white throne judgment, is about to begin. And now all the dead people from the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve, all the way up until the great tribulation, and all the way up to the ones who were destroyed, amen, at the end of time is at the end of that 1,000-year reign, will be raised from the dead. Now watch this. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh. So you can think of the people now, these people who said they serve the Illuminati, that they in entertainment, they worship the devil. I don't care who they are. They could be rich. Fam, they could be poor out here on the street. They could be a hobo on the street. They say they don't believe in God. The Bible said that John said it, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh. All these people are rich, talking about they gonna serve the devil, that they want to kill off the populations and the people there. That's what it's talking about. And the books were open. Now the Bible says books, plural, again. I believe this is just my. Now we know that for a fact that one of the books is what? The Book of Life, right? The Lamb's Book of Life. The other books, I believe, contain your thoughts. The other one contains your what you've said. The other one contains what? Your deeds. This is just my spiritual speculation. I could be totally wrong, amen? So you don't have to accept that. I'm just saying, but we know that you're going to be judged for sure off of your thoughts, your deeds, and your words, because those are your actions. So we know that for a fact. Now, regardless of what these other books are, or whatever these books are, we know for a fact you're going to be judged off your thoughts, your words, and your deeds, your actions, basically. Now, these books were open, which is the Book of Life. Amen. So maybe these books that were open, amen, they maybe just contain information about what? Amen. The Book of Life. Just, again, your actions. Amen. And also what? The Lamb's Book of Life. To see if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The only way that your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life is if you do the plan of salvation, which is Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. You must confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. We just talked about this last night with the children. Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, and you shall be saved. That's it. Just that simple. I believe him. I love him. I accept him. I'm going to heaven. Why would I want to sit before him and let him judge me? I've had so many thoughts since the beginning, since my age of accountability. I've said so many things. I've thought some things that wasn't nice. I've said some things that wasn't nice, and I've done some things that wasn't nice. Even now, we're not perfect. I've thought some things, said some things, and done some things. None of us are perfect. Now, do you think I want to be – I don't even like my boss, amen, anybody I work for to say something to me. More or less, I don't want to be judged by nobody. None of us do. But you're going to have to stand before the great judge, Christ, and his heavenly Father, and he's going to judge on everything, every little thing that you've done. And you have to sit there and endure that. And then at the end, now remember, you just came out of hell. So all these folks are talking smart, they can't wait to stand before God and tell God, you ain't going to tell Christ and his heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit nothing. Because you're going to be so horrified after coming from hell. Remember, I told you that the Bible says, and I just showed you over in Jude, the verse 6, that hell and the lake of fire was not made for man, but for Lucifer and his fallen angels. Now, they've been around a lot longer than we have by a long shot. We don't know how long the fallen angels have been around here. If it was calculated in time, they could have been around a billion years, trillion years. They have more knowledge than us. They've seen more. They've seen heaven. They've been in heaven with Yahweh. Okay? So they have a lot more knowledge. So hell and the lake of fire was not meant for man. So guess what? You've raised out of hell. You're already terrified and scared as I don't know what. You're already scared as hell. My wife is going to say you're already scared as hell because you just came out of hell. So you think now you're fixing to talk bad before Christ. I got a surprise for you. You ain't finna say a word because the Bible talks about how first he looks over in Revelation, the first chapter. And John describes his experience with him. John said, let me go over there and share it with you because I believe we got a little time. Now I'm going to go ahead and shut it down. Amen. I'm going to share it with you. These folks talking smart, talking about what they're going to say when they see Christ. But I'm going to show you what you're going to do. I'm going to show you what you're going to do when you stand before him because he's all powerful. Amen. You better know who you're messing with. Amen. This is what he said. Amen. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Amen. There it is. Revelation 1 and 17. John said, and when I saw him, that's how powerful Christ is. John said, I fell at his feet as dead. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a person faint or if a person is a lifeless body just hit the ground, but it ain't nothing pretty. When your body has lifeless, have you seen a boxer get hit and knocked out and basically just fold to the ground? John said he fell at his feet as if he was dead. In other words, he had no control. He had no strength. And you think folks going to really stand before Christ and talk noise? You think Christ going to permit that? Christ is already like, this ain't the first Christ that came in the first time, born of his mother Mary. This ain't that Christ. It's a whole totally different man. The same man, but totally different. See, this one comes with what? Fire and brimstone judgment. You ain't standing before him and talking no noise. He's talking to you. He's going to let you know what it is. And then after he gets through judging you, guess what? Let's read what it says, what's going to happen. Verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Again, their actions. Verse 13 says, "And the sea gave up the dead." So all the folks that have been dead since the beginning of Adam, they died in any type of water, lake, anywhere. If their bodies are still buried somewhere in some lake or pond or ocean, just wherever they are, it says, "The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them." This is really something. Death and hell. So these are entities that contain souls. Man, y'all not ready for this. Man, y'all out here playing with y'all salvation. If you think you're going to escape this, if you think you're going to smooth talk and be cool, man, I got another thing for you. You ain't smooth enough and you ain't cool enough to escape what Christ got. Amen. Ain't none of us. You ain't all that in a bag of chips at all for what's coming. Amen. So you better get it right. Go ahead and get your soul right. You ain't fixing a smooth talk. You ain't going to get around this. Amen. Ain't no way that you, the Bible says that if you're a thief and a robber, you come in the other way. He said, the only way that you can come to the Father is by me. You got to receive him. Now watch this. Verse 14 said, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Verse 15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Close the book. "Until the last soul is judged." That is it. Oh, that's got to be horrifying. That's got to be mortifying. That's got to be the most horrific thing that you can. That's it. He just judged you. You ain't going to say nothing. You're going to sit there with your mouth shut. You're going to take the judgment. And only if he asks you something, if he needs a response from you. But other than that, he's just going to judge you. And that's just it. And after that, the angel is just going to cast you into a lake. He's going to take you like they just threw Satan to the pit, as we saw. They're going to just throw your little body into the lake of fire. You're going to be burning for all eternity. Why would you want that? For what? Just to say you sold your soul for some trinkets here on earth? So what, you want to be gay and lesbian and enjoy this life and a fornicator and a whoremonger and enjoy orgies and partying money and going here and doing all this crazy wicked stuff that I've been hearing that women been doing and prostituting their body over in these foreign countries for tens of thousands of dollars for trinkets? Lucifer is fooling you. You are selling your soul for trinkets. Men out here raping and stealing and pillaging, just lying and cheating and doing everything. For what? For trinkets. You're going to burn for all eternity for this short period of time that we're on this earth. We've seen people talk about they serve Satan and then the next year they gone, they dead. Man, please. So you mean to tell me that short period of time that you just sold your soul to the devil, now you're going to spend all eternity for that foolishness. Amen. As the kids say, play stupid games, receive stupid rewards. This is what you want. This is coming. Hey, judgment is coming. And I just shared with the kids something last night. Amen. I think I'm going to go ahead and read it. Amen. Because like I said, I have so many scriptures and notes and stuff that I have written down. And I never really even get to read them because, amen, for the most part, I let the Holy Spirit just take over and I just freestyle. Amen. Because while I've been reading and studying these things for 20-some years now. Amen. And so let me share this with you. Amen. We're about to be done. Amen. I'm going to share this with you. We're gonna close the book. We're going to seal it up for the night. Amen. I want to share this with you. This is about the rich man and Lazarus. Amen. This is Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 27 down to 31. And before I read it, amen, because for the sake of time, I want to share this with you. There are people in hell right now that played the same silly games that people are playing now. They know that their doom is coming. They know that there's going to be a final judgment. Amen. Whether, well, I don't know how they know, but I believe that they know that there's going to be a final, that ain't the end of it. They wish they can come back and tell their family and friends, don't come to hell. Don't lose your soul. Don't let your soul be lost. Watch what it says. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren. So he must have been number six. He says, I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them. In other words, I need for him to go and talk to them. Amen. He says, send them to my father's house, lest they come also into this place of torment. He's talking about hell. People talk, oh, hell ain't real. Okay, well, I had some people in church tell me hell ain't real. I'm just like, kind of thinking myself, amen, pawn on words, how in the hell you think that? Hell ain't real. Hell is real. Amen. See, if hell wasn't real, do you think, these words are written in red, do you think Christ would reference something? What would be the point of Christ telling us something, but it not be real? Oh, well, it was a parable. Okay. Well, don't you think that if he even gave it to us, if it's something that, and I'm just saying, I'm not saying that it was a parable, I don't believe that it was, but let's just say, you know, because somebody said that this wasn't real. I said, well, okay, if it wasn't real, what was the purpose of Christ sharing this with us? And don't you think if he was sharing with us, that it could be a possibility that there's something similar after this life that's, it's kind of like when you commit a crime, don't they take you to jail? I believe they do. Yeah, they take you to jail. And from what I understand, a lot of people don't like jail. I had family members go to jail. The first thing they do is they call and talk about, tell daddy, come get me out of here. Well, wait a minute. You were cutting up. You wouldn't think about that when you left there cutting up. That's how people do. They don't think about it when they get out here cutting, funning, cutting up. But see, when you get caught, see, now you in jail. See, now you in hell. And you want out. It ain't no out. There's something worse coming. So jail ain't the worst thing. See, now you're going to prison for life or the death sentence or whatever they got coming for. See, now it's about to get worse. That's how it is. You go to hell, you sit there, you've been tormented, and it's going to get worse. Then the lake of fire is waiting on you. Why would you want that? Let me finish reading what it says. It says, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. What does that mean? Let them hear them. In other words, you got preachers out here. You got teachers, evangelists, overseers, bishops, people who study the word. You got people out here preaching until we black and blue. We study until we black and blue, giving you this information, pleading spiritually that we don't want you to be lost. Now watch what it says. Verse 30, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. You would think, right? You would think if somebody was, that grave was to open up, we actually witnessed this person come out the casket, the grave come up, they in their suit or whatever they had on the day they buried him, and they alive, they come and tell, hey, man, look at her. I don't care if smoke coming out the mouth. They try to tell you, man, don't go to hell. Whatever you do, get your soul right, live, don't go to hell. Now, I told you earlier that you just got some folks that they don't care what they see. They can see a dead man walking, somebody in the front that they know for a fact that they didn't see them die, seen them get killed. They know they did. Come back from the grave and tell them, whatever you do, get your life right. Don't come here. But watch what the scripture says. Verse 31 says, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, if you hear not Tim tonight, if you don't hear the people that's preaching the word, preaching the gospel, watch what it says. Neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, you know that's got to be sad. If you don't believe me, you wouldn't believe a dead man that came in your family. Somebody, your best friend, your lover, whoever, your family man, your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, your cousin, somebody close to you can come from the grave and tell you, get your soul right, and people still going to be hard-headed. Oh, yeah, so they're going to make any type of excuse. This man was dead. This man was back alive telling you, get your... See, I've always been the type of person, it don't take much for me. I'll tell you that right now. Dead man come back and tell you, get your life. I'm going to church. I'm getting saved. That's all I need to hear. This thing is real. This thing is real. But you got some folks that you can't tell them that. See? Because in Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 23 says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar, this thing is real. Verse 24 says, and he cried, said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his tongue, tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue. I am tormented in this flame. People in hell ain't funny. They ain't thinking about what they did. They are in pain. They hurting. And I shared with the kids last night, one of the children. Somebody had said, one of the questions was, they said something about one of their friends said that they would just endure the fire. They would get used to the pain. I said, Lord have mercy. I said, here we go again. I said, okay. So last time I touched something hot water, iron, a stove, I jumped. I told you all before, fire is the one thing that, when it hits you, you're going to move. You're going to move when you touch something hot. That is all there is to it. So you really think that your flesh or your body, your soul, spirit, whatever is going to endure that flame. Now, remember, we ain't talking about hell. There's something worse coming in hell. If you can't handle the flame, now you see right here, he said he is tormented in this flame. He's in pain. I don't care if you've been there 1 hour or 1,000 years, it's gonna be the same. You'll never endure it. You can be there for all eternity. You'll never, and the lake of fire is going to be worse. If you think you're going to escape this, amen, you're not. So the doors of the church is open. Again, if you want to escape this, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that's the only way, is through salvation that you're going to escape this. There ain't no plan with it no more. Amen. I told the Lord over 20 years ago, I want to be saved. I looked up to the sky and said, you know what? I don't want to go to hell. Amen. I didn't know that hell and the lake of fire were two different places, but I'm so glad and grateful that he delivered me from the lake of fire and hell. I'm so glad that he delivered my wife and children from it. Amen. And I always, you know, talk to him about salvation. Amen. You have to. You just want to make sure. You want to know that you know, because when Christ comes to get us, I want to see my loved ones in heaven. I don't want to do all this hard work and teaching and preaching and saving people's souls, and somebody close to me don't make it. Amen. I want you to make it. I want the person that says they don't like me to make it. Amen. I want everyone to make it into the kingdom. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yahshua and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's just that plain and simple. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now watch what it says. Skip down to verse 14 of Romans, the 10th chapter. Watch what it says. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. I want you to know right now, you got that. You don't know what you can hear is through a preacher. Somebody got to preach this thing to you. The gospel must be preached. And it says that if it's not preached to you, then you'll never hear the word. How can you hear the word if I don't preach it to you? And if I don't preach it to you, how can you believe? Amen. So you see the order of it. If someone ain't there to preach it to you, you can't hear it. If you can't hear it, you can't believe it. I had somebody tell me one time they picked up the Bible in a hotel, started reading, they became saved. I said, brother, I don't know. The scriptures that said that ain't how it works. Amen. I don't go with everything that I hear. I go by what the Bible say. Amen. So you have to hear the word. That's why it's important that we are preaching to the world. We're thankful for Chaos Talk Radio and this platform. We thank Derek Oliver and his team for allowing us to be on this platform to reach as many souls as we possibly can. In these last days, we want you to be saved before Christ returns. Remember, family, we love each and every one of you. Family, remember, we will be back on the air next Saturday night, 6 p.m. Central. Amen. Same place, same time, same station. We want you to be saved and receive salvation. We're going to finish up this book of Revelation, amen. I believe I'm just going to go ahead and knock it all out, amen. If I can't do 21 and 22, which I believe I can, but we're going to be done with this thing. We're going to move on to talking about salvation a little bit. We're going to take a little break, interlude from eschatology, then we're going to jump right back into it. Family, remember, I love you. You're royalty. I am royalty. Be blessed. Have a great, wonderful week. Be careful. Stay safe. Take care. And you all have a wonderful night. I love each and every one of you. Be safe. Amen.